Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Ladies, and welcome back to another episode of Perspectives with Sherry. I'm your host, Sherry, and today I am so excited for this episode. Real quick, before we get into the topic and what wonderful thing, it's not a wonderful thing, but it's a thing that's very necessary to talk about. Let me just say, over here, it's a safe space for women in midlife. We talk about all things health, wealth, empowerment, and all the things that feed those three topics. So, today, our topic is going to be about narcissistic abuse and boundaries. The two feed each other, and if you don't know how, you're going to learn how. And I am joined by an amazing guest, y'all. I'm trying to contain myself. I'm very excited because this topic is something that resonates not only with myself, my daughter, a lot of my friends, a lot of you out there. And so I thought it was really important. We are in February, and we know that, of course, that's the month of Valentine's Day and love and relationships. And so to be reflective, prayerfully, you are not here. But if at some point in your life you found yourself in a relationship where you had suffered from some narcissistic abuse, and you're still dealing with it, navigating through it, I think this episode is going to help you. And so I thought it was really important to bring that to you. So first, let me just say welcome to my guest, Azadeh Atzberger. Welcome.
Thank you, Sherry. It is such an honor and privilege to be here with you on your show. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for agreeing to be here. And let me tell you all a little bit about Azadeh. She is a distinguished three-time best-selling author, and as a transformational life coach and couples coach, Azadeh is dedicated to empowering individuals to transcend their past and manifest their lives to aspire that they aspire to lead. Her work is a testament to the power of resilience, healing, and personal growth. I love that. Growing up in Iran, Azadeh faced immense challenges, including domestic and sexual abuse. Her indomitable spirit and unwavering determination allowed her to rise above these adversities, becoming a beacon of hope and inspiration for countless individuals worldwide. Azadeh's profound passion lies in helping others navigate trauma and find the freedom to create their best lives, y'all. And that is God's work. Thank you so much for being here. Y'all, we're going to not waste any time. We're going to get right into it.
Yes.
Yes. So I have my first question for you. is what are some key early signs that someone might be experiencing narcissistic abuse, and how can they differentiate it from typical relationship struggles?
Great question. First, I want to say that any relationship, friend, boss, romantic, which a lot of my clients are, I work with, but I also work with women that have children that are narcissists. Now, any relationship that is really fast, all of a sudden, you are their soulmate. You are the one they've been looking for. So I'm focusing on romantic.
Okay.
You are the one that they've been waiting for all along. You are just this incredible being, and they are so grateful to have you. They want to be with you. They want to be on the phone with you. They want to text you. Within a week to 2 weeks, they are consuming you and contacting you three to five times a day because they want you to feel like you are their everything. They make you feel like you're a god.
Okay. Yeah. It's funny you're saying it, and I'm thinking particularly, and you'll hear me say it probably throughout the interview, but my poor daughter, she's navigating through out of that relationship, but navigating through it. And it's fresh for her. And these are some of the things that I saw the patterns. So y'all, this is important. So please pay attention to what she's telling you. This is accurate. One of the patterns often discussed in narcissistic abuse is love bombing. Can you explain what this is and how it contributes to the cycle of abuse?
Yes. And this is so important. Love bombing, a lot of times people in the community or their understanding is someone that just loves you too much. No. This is using love as a vehicle for manipulation. So what they are doing is they are interviewing you to see where your wounds are, and then they're pouring love onto it. So let's just say, for example, you're feeling not enough, or you're feeling insecure, or you feel, you know, for a teenage girl feeling overweight. They will come into that place and love it and say, you are perfect. You are gorgeous. So it's literally putting a love bomb on a wound to get you to pull you in.
Yes. Like I said, this is just resonating. So another term we hear a lot, gaslighting. And we know that's another common tactic used by narcissists. Can you share some examples of how gaslighting plays out and how someone can recognize it in their own relationship?
Yes. Gaslighting is literally, is a tool for manipulating narcissists to break your mind, to get you to doubt yourself. And they do that by shattering your reality. What you see and feel is really not what you see and feel. It's something else. And so what happens is they are starting to implement doubt into your thoughts. And so think of it this way, shattering your reality really is what it is, because ultimately they want dominance over your thought life. Mm-hmm. They want you to be seeking their approval. They want you to be addicted and dependent on them. So gaslighting is to slowly get you to doubt yourself, question yourself, and start believing their truth versus yours.
This is deep, y'all. Narcissists often manipulate others by using guilt and shame. And what are some common ways they do this, and how can victims identify these emotional manipulations?
Yes. So the guilt and shame, it comes in after they've won you over. Mm-hmm. So the winning you over is in the love bombing stage, and they use guilt and shame. Anytime you try and assert yourself, have an independence, have an opinion, have a thought, it's the other side of gaslighting. It's kind of like gaslighting, because when you have a success, or if you have any kind of an autonomy, a personal autonomy, they will use guilt and shame so that you don't assert yourself in your truth. So they will guilt you. Here's an example. Let's say you have a success in your work or your career or your academia, let's just say, whatever. You have a winning moment. You have a success and a victory. When you bring it up, they will shift it to bring the attention back onto them by saying, I wish I could do that, or shaming you and saying, anybody can do something like that. I mean, look at all of these other people that accomplished it. It's really not that big.
Yes. Wow. Okay. All right. And here's another concept. And this is the concept of discarding. It's prevalent in narcissistic abuse. Can you explain this phase, what it looks like and how it impacts the survivor's emotional and mental well-being? So the concept of discarding.
Discarding is so painful. Because you don't see it coming.
Yeah.
You don't know it's coming. And then it comes. Mm. It's like pulling the rug under your feet when you're dancing. It's pulling the rug under your feet when you're dancing, because it happens when you are at your highest peak of joy. It happens without you even seeing it come. It happens in a nanosecond, and it's the ultimate form of emotional abuse. What they are doing when they discard you is that you get into so much pain that you ultimately go chasing and running back to them to soothe that pain, to stop that pain. Mm-hmm. And that's their goal. That's the darkness of that tactic. And I also want to say, Sherry, if anybody's going through a discard, if anybody's been discarded, how to handle it powerfully is not to give into it. Mm-hmm. Even in the midst of the pain, even in the midst of mental health rampant, even in the sleepless nights, even in the anger and rage, sit back, look back, and unpack what just happened. Mm-hmm. Instead of chasing. And, you know, I've seen so many people, including myself, run back and say, what did I do wrong?
Yeah. When it's
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
When it's not something you even did wrong, it's something that they're doing.
Yeah. 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 That's so crazy. I mean, I've seen it. Like I said, I've been a party of it myself, not in my current marriage, but in past relationships. And then I've witnessed, you know, watching girlfriends or my daughter. And it's like, wow, you know, it's in your mind, you know, like I literally did nothing, but you're so removed from all of your realities, your faculties, the things that make sense, nothing makes sense. And so, yeah, it just, you know, as I was doing research to get these questions to you, I was just like, oh God, these are so good.
Yes.
So I'm glad, you know, that we're phasing this out and bringing attention to it, you know, cause it comes in waves, it comes in phases. And I love how you said, you know, resist it, you know, because the minute you go running back, it's like the clock starts right over again. And it's, yeah.
And you're right. And you know what, Sherry? This can be just toxic people too.
True.
They have, you know, it can be people. How about this? I'll say toxic. And I will also say This can also be present with people that don't have communication skills. Mm-hmm. People get wounded. How about this one? It can also show up with people that are just wounded and hurt and don't know how to authentically communicate their truth. They are not seeking connection. You hurt me, so I'm going to run. Yeah. I've done it.
Yeah.
And it's been done to me. But mm-hmm. when I'm trying to have that communication with the person in a healthy manner, and they're still resisting and wanting to discard, where they just simply give me the silent treatment, and all of a sudden they're in my life 3 to 5 times a day, text call, like the love bombing. And then now they're gone. They're just, they're nowhere in sight. It's like, anybody's going to go, what just happened? That's why in the beginning, don't let them groom you into those constant contact, constant text, constant calls. Because eventually anything that goes up that high has to come down.
That's true. That is so true. That is so true. All right. Let me get into my next question.
Yes.
How does narcissistic abuse affect a person's sense of reality or self-worth? And what are some signs that someone's self-esteem is being eroded by this type of abuse?
Oh my God. Such a good question. And I'm going to tell you, there are times that I still have, you know, 2 steps back in my own self-worth and in my own insecurities. And I just have to pull myself back in and say, you know what? This is old wounds. This is an old memory. And I'm worth it. I'm worth this. So it affects you in the sense that because of the emotional and verbal abuse of the stage in the narcissism, where they're always now, everything they loved about you, they hate, they criticize. It's like, what happened? So what happens in that dynamic is a lot of us, if we're not versed in this dynamic, we really try harder to get them to see our worth. And so we never really connect to our own worth and nourish our own worth and stand in our own worth. We're now trying to get them, because they took it away, we're trying to get them to give it back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So now,
do
you get that? They took it, and now we're working harder to get it back.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. Honestly, it does. So, okay. Next question is, narcissists often exploit their partner's vulnerabilities. Can you give examples of how they might use someone's insecurities or past trauma to control or undermine them? That's a big one.
Yes. Yeah, it's a really big one. I mean, all of them are such good questions. Well, the vulnerability part is when they start shifting into devaluing and gaslighting. And you know, our heart is invested from the early stages of this relationship. So we naturally are vulnerable, saying what's wrong and how we put our heart out there. What can I do better? What's going on? I don't understand this relationship. Can we make it work? Forgiving them, telling them you're forgiving them, trying to get them help, trying to do all those things, putting your heart out there. And what happens is the more we, in a vulnerable sense, say, I love you. I want to make this work. How can I make it work? They use that against you. They use that against you because now your reactions and your pain is now their drug. It's their supply. It's their power. Mm-hmm. So the more I want them to go back to who they were,
right,
without me taking a step back saying, what's happening here? It can't all be me. It's some of it's got to be them or all them. They use that vulnerability and that emotional pain we're in, and they exploit it by calling us sensitive or selfish, or we just don't know how to let things go, or I can't believe you're bringing it up again, or you're crazy, or you need medication, or...
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. That is, yeah, definitely a tactic. Yeah. Very familiar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are the signs of narcissistic abuse that victims might overlook in themselves, such as feelings of constant anxiety, self-doubt, or confusion about their own emotions?
The actual narcissist?
Mm-hmm.
The victim?
Victims, yes.
And so how can they, yeah. So I love one of the books, and I want to recommend this, and I want to recommend my books too.
Yes,
but
please.
But one of the books that is really helpful is it's called The Body Keeps the Score.
Okay.
So even if I'm rational and I'm sitting with this abuser at a table, my body is going to have a nervous system reaction to being around this person, because the body remembers the pain, knows the pain, and has now associated pain to this person. So what comes up is anxiety, editing your thoughts around this person, emotionally feeling, you know, just a lot of heart palpitations around the person.
Yeah.
So your body reacts around them, even if you're just sitting there chill, talking at a coffee table, your body is going to react. So a lot of times I learned this for myself. I tell my clients and I share in the community that if your brain has been gaslit to believe that it's you as the problem, not them, your body's going to tell you different. Your body's going to be fine. And then when you're around them, it's going to have all of these disorders come up.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, it does.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Ladies, are you listening?
Yes. Ladies. Ladies.
Okay. So narcissists tend to have an extreme need for control. Whether through financial, emotional, or social means, what are some signs that a narcissist is trying to isolate their victim to control their surroundings?
Oh, well, they definitely do not want you around anyone that can be exposing the truth.
Yes.
Friends, family, moms. They will start poisoning you against family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I've seen people be isolated so much where they're moved completely out of the state, out of town, out of the area. They start poisoning their minds and saying, you don't really need that support group. Your mom doesn't know what she's talking about. She's blah, blah, blah. Your friends, they're crazy. They're toxic. They're jealous. They'll say... They'll say all kinds of things to get you to turn on them.
Right.
Now, this can be with just toxic, jealous people too.
Right.
But we're talking about narcissists, and this is definitely a pattern with narcissists. They will isolate you from people that are trying to protect and save you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Powerful. Yes, 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 yes. All right. And when someone's in a narcissistic relationship, they might experience a cycle of idealization, devaluation, and discarding. How can someone recognize when they're caught in this cycle, and what can they do to break free? Because we've talked about these individually, and then now I'm kind of like trying to drill down. It's like when they find themselves in these cycles, how can they recognize that they're caught there, and how can they break free? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the number one thing, the number one tool is you want to dissolve cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is two opposing facts running in your head. He's abusive. He's loving. Which is it? Which is it? Which is it? You want to, the most important thing is dissolve that.
Okay.
Yes, there's times he was loving, but right now he's being cruel, manipulative, devaluing and dismissing me. So you want to land in the truth. Call it for what it is. Don't blame yourself. Don't rationalize it. Don't justify it. Don't brush it under the rug. Don't go having drinks with him and have sex just to hope it fixes it. Don't do any of that. Even if you do that, stand in your truth of what just happened.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Tell someone, he called me names or she called me names. They didn't show up again for my success at work. Mm-hmm. I got STDs from him, but he's still telling me he didn't cheat on me. I mean, these are some scenarios that I get. Mm-hmm. Stand in the truth. Admit the truth of what's happening. That will help the brain.
Yeah. Love that. Y'all, that's good.
Love it. Yeah.
Okay, and now we're going to pivot into some questions about boundaries.
Yes.
The two do coincide. One helps the other, and we're going to talk about that. So,
sure.
Why are boundaries so crucial for anyone recovering from narcissistic abuse, and how do they help in the healing process?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm going to give an example of someone that's either just coming out of a narcissistic relationship or is just got out on their way out or out. They clearly know this is abusive. I got to get out. Mm-hmm. You want to create boundaries for your safety because you don't want to be re-traumatized.
Right.
You don't want to, you are so wounded and raw.
Right.
You're so wounded and raw that anything that is not in this place of safety or support could trigger you. So the boundaries of safety and your mind and your heart has to be intact. Very important. Very important.
Okay. So as I opened, and I told you, you know, my platform is specific to women in midlife. And so for women in midlife, what unique challenges or dynamics do you see when it comes to setting and maintaining boundaries, especially in relationships with family, friends, or partners?
Oh, I think anytime you want to set boundaries, you got to know them inside your heart first.
Right.
You have to, even if it takes weeks and months to know what they are, with each person's going to be different, but know them and validate them and then launch them out.
Okay.
Because when you set the boundary prematurely without it being solid inside you, you risk the fact, especially if you've been in a narcissistic abusive relationship, the brain takes a really long time to heal from the gaslighting. You could dismiss your boundary and adapt to them thinking you shouldn't have one. So it's got to be within. It's got to be within.
Starts within. Okay. I love that. That's important. Okay. How can women in midlife identify when their boundaries are being crossed? And what are some early warning signs that they may not be protecting themselves enough?
Mental health will show you you're not protecting yourself enough. Mental health. Mm-hmm. When you start having sleepless nights, when you start thinking and obsessing on what they did and said, you either put your self-worth in their hands, you seek their approval or validation with your boundaries. Self-protection is so crucial, and it's going to feel painful if you're used to not doing that. But it's part of the healing process is to hold your energy and hold on to your truth and hold on to what you see. Sometimes what you even see, it's best to not talk about it until you build resilience around it. Okay. So, yeah.
It's very good. For many women in midlife, we're caregivers, or we may feel a sense of responsibility toward others. How can they establish, or how can we establish, healthy boundaries without feeling guilty or selfish?
If you're brand new setting boundaries, it's just expect it to come. Expect feeling guilty. Expect feeling doubtful. Expect feeling guilty. Expect there's going to be a backlash.
Right.
Expect it. Have someone holding your hand and being accountable to holding your truth with you. Mm-hmm. Because you're just going to have it until you get stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
What are some common misconceptions women might have about boundaries, especially when it comes to prioritizing their own needs over the needs of others? I know for myself, I did a vlog actually yesterday as a precursor to us getting a chance to dive deep into this. And I did talk about the fact that, you know, a lot of us do tend to think it's selfish or whatever, when it's actually more self-care and self-prioritizing. And so, you know, the question here really leans into what is it that you most see, or, you know, you maybe hear from your clients, or, you know, that you've even struggled with that we're sharing now about are the biggest misconceptions that we have about boundaries.
It's really, really good. And it's the heart of most of my clients. Mm-hmm. And that is that they believe if they set a boundary, they're selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're selfish and cruel and uncaring.
Yes, right?
Yeah, it's the biggest one. And it's the biggest one. And so setting boundaries, it sounds like it's going to be super fun and easy in this new thing that I'm going to do, this new buzzword, but there's a backlash with all of this. So that's why women don't stick with them, because they don't want to deal with the pain. So it's a belief system, and it's a grooming thing from childhood and from parents that taught them, if you set boundaries, you're a jerk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
You are selfish after all I do for you. How dare you take care of yourself?
Yes. Yes, that's another one. Yeah, that's huge. And I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, and for this, we were talking about narcissistic abuse. We were talking relationship wise, but I also encourage women to also check that temperature with your family, you know. You know, a lot of us are mothers, you know, we can be caregivers to our parents. You know, there's the parent daughter relationship, sometimes, you know, that can overlap into, you know, depleting you. I don't think that we talk about it enough and we stress it enough. We're so big on self-care and wellness. Boundaries is a huge part of that. And so that's why I really wanted to talk about this, you know? So let's talk about some societal pressures. Women in midlife might be facing shifting roles. How do they learn, or how do we learn to communicate boundaries effectively to those around us?
I really think what I found the most effective and keeping my own serenity is communicate my boundaries in grace. Not in a way that's so harsh and abrupt, but some things, like, I'll give you an example. If you're dealing with someone toxic, some of the boundaries I keep in my pocket is like, well, I can see you're not in a good place. Let's come back when you feel better and we can talk about this. Or because I'm not going to engage or try and convince someone that's already angry of my truth.
Right.
Also, you know, I've noticed the past few times we've spent time together, or just last when we were together just now on this walk, you snapped at me. Is there something going on that you want to talk about? Is there something? And if they say no, and if they say, oh, I it was not a big deal. Okay, well, they're not ready to talk about it or whatever. But, right. Or I'll say something like let's say I made a mistake this is a big one, Sherry. Let's just say, because it happens. Let's just say there's a time that I dismissed my own boundaries. It's nobody's fault. Right. I dismissed them. I get to go back and say, you know, Sherry, you remember, this is an example. Sherry, you remember when we met last time, I said this, this, and this. And, you know, I'd like to take that back because it didn't feel right. And it didn't feel good within my alignment. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just say I said, oh, right. I'll come and cook dinner for you for the weekend. And then 2 days later, I was like, ooh, I don't have it. I can't. Right. I have other things. I'm not available. I'm abandoning myself doing that again. So I go back and I say, I'm so sorry that I committed to this. After reflecting my schedule, I added too much. And I'm so sorry. So I can clean up my own boundaries if yes. I made a mistake.
Oh, that is good. Yes, yeah. I like that. Yeah. I mean, because that gives, you know, you think about, okay, well, once you've committed yourself, you have to follow through, uh-huh. whatever. I love that example. And I hope that those of you that are watching and those of that you're listening, that you receive that, you know, that you can go back and you know, backtrack or what you don't even say, look, it doesn't align with what I have set the boundary for myself. It's too much. It's okay. It's okay. I love okay. that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what role does self-worth play in setting boundaries, and how can women rebuild their self-esteem in order to strengthen their ability to protect their personal space and well-being?
Oh my God. I love this one. Really love this one. This is all about becoming your badass self. This is all about, yeah, this is all about getting super empowered yes. in who I am, what I bring to the table. It's a reminder.
Yeah.
If you have kids and a job, we have to remind ourselves what we bring to the table, how much love and energy and time we pour into others. Mm-hmm. And not in the sense of like, oh, I'm amazing. Just that, I mean, it is about you're amazing, but it's not so much about what you're doing. It's the motivation that gets you to do it. Mm-hmm. So you get empowered by saying, I matter. You start saying, I matter. My time matters. My energy matters. My self-esteem matters. And I'm no longer going to put my self-worth in someone else's hands to tell me that I'm enough and I'm doing it. But yeah. So it's an affirmation. It's a daily affirmation. And I have to tell you, Sherry, I do that affirmation daily. And when I slip, I come back and go, you got this. Let's get back up. You got this. You're the best parent you've ever had. You're the best friend you've ever had. So I put my hand on my heart and I bring myself back to the truth and I empower myself. I empower myself. Yes.
That is amazing. I love that. And you know, I try to also affirm myself. I need to do it more. I hope that, you know, as you're listening, I hope you're taking notes too. And honestly, I really hope you start implementing these things. These are really important. So with that, and you know, that was a good one. You actually kind of already maybe gave the answer to this partially, but I was going to ask you to share some practical strategies for women in midlife to implement boundaries in their daily lives. Especially when it comes to toxic relationships or difficult family dynamics. We touched on some things that we could implement. Is there anything else you want to add to that one?
Yes, I do. And what comes to mind, Sherry, is do your best to not react. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. sit with it and respond. Okay. That's when you're holding on to your energy and your power. If someone comes at you sideways or does something or says something or, you know, whatever. Oh, and it's the hardest. I'm not saying I don't have it perfect. I don't. There's times I react and there's times I respond. I wish to see myself respond more.
Yes.
Because we don't want to be like assumed differently. We don't want to be thought of this way, or we don't want to be accused or any of that stuff. And sometimes that pushes my buttons. So the thing I want to say is really work on your response, not your reactivity. So you want to pause and wait till you can respond.
Okay. Y'all, that is powerful. Respond, not react. Write that down, ladies. No.
I'm writing it down for myself. I need the reminder every day. Right.
Yes, listen, that's huge for me. That is. It's something I work on. And as I've gotten older, I've gotten a little better, but there's still times, you know, I get got and I'm like, oh, here we are again.
Here we are again.
Yeah, you know? So that's
yes.
Very, very yes. Powerful. Yeah. All right. And then, okay, so next question. How can women recognize when their boundaries are being respected versus when they're being taken advantage of? And what steps can they take to address this in a healthy way?
So good. Because there's toxic takers that will not respect your boundaries and want to keep pushing you through them to get you to bend. Mm-hmm. And what I try to remember, it doesn't happen that often. But if it does happen, I say, you know, I spoke my truth. Mm-hmm. And at this time, I've spoken my truth once or twice. And at this time, I'm going to exit the conversation and discuss either something else or, you know, but I'm going to exit the conversation. I've already communicated my truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to try and convince them now. It's not going to be a battle of convincing my boundary or my self-care with them. I'm going to exit the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And you don't have to convince someone, you know? Yeah. I mean, you've said it. I'm sorry. You can't see it. I'm out. I love that, y'all. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out.
I told you. Yeah.
Because that's when they push through your boundaries, that's when they want to get you to weaken and bend and feel guilty and go back and say, okay, forget it.
Yeah. I give in. I'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah. No. No.
No. No. Absolutely not. All right. So final question. And then we're going to get into talking about how we can find you and get your books and all that wonderful things. So for the last question I have, for women who may fear confrontation or conflict, how can they set boundaries assertively without feeling like they're being too rigid or aggressive?
Yeah. It's kind of like what we talked about, in a graceful way.
Yeah.
You know, in a kind, loving, gracious way. You know, I think I need to, go a different direction on this. Mm-hmm. I've learned some things about myself, and what I used to do doesn't work for me anymore. I need to do it this way. Mm-hmm. Just in a grace, tell your truth in the most beautiful, gracious way. That's when you hold your power. You hold your power.
Yes.
And people will respect you for that. Mm-hmm. Instead of yelling, getting mad. And a lot of times I'll say this is, and I've done, this is from experience, is that I'm angry at the other person when I'm the, because I'm, but I'm shifting the blame onto them, but I'm really angry at myself because I abandoned my own truth and my own needs. And then I'm angry at them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They don't know.
I'm very much guilty of that many times. Yeah. You know?
Yes.
Okay. So, we have covered quite a few of the things I wanted to talk about. And ladies, I hope at this point you have some things that you have gained insight on that you're going to try to implement, that you've learned. That was the goal. And now, Azadeh, I need to know, first of all, where can we find you on, you know, your socials? Let us know what you have coming up. How can we support you? Where can we find your books? All those things.
Oh my God, Sherry, you are such a joy. So all my books are on Amazon.
Okay.
And You can find me on Instagram at breakfree_riseandrebuild. My website is finallyfreelife.com. What I do now, which is such a God shot, is I own my own in-house publishing where I take authors from beginning to end. I'm talking edit, covers, coaching, guiding you to your story that you want to tell, uploading it to Amazon, all of the above, everything A to Z. And that is on Instagram and on my website. Power Within is the name of my in-house publishing. So anybody that wants to write an ebook, they can even start writing two chapters and get it out there on Amazon in a month if they want to.
Wow.
Just to get I do that for the momentum for writers. As an author four times, I know that because I co-authored one book. I know that we get stuck in the momentum. Mm-hmm. So I've created these little like a la carte things where someone can just write two chapters and get it out there. And then it gets the momentum and the accountability fired up to keep going for the rest of their book or just do their ebook. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm starting to get more and more clients that want to do that. So I've created a team that I love and we love publishing books.
Awesome. That is amazing.
I know. Thank you. All
right. Yes. So, okay. So we have heard, you know, where we can find her, how we can support her, get the books. If you are new to the world of writing, you already heard she's got everything you need. I'm going to pin all the information in the comments, and I will also have that for those that listen to me on audio podcasts. I will have that information in the show notes. So not only will you hear it, you write it down. I'll give you an opportunity that I'll have it readily available for you as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sherry.
Yes, and thank you. Thank you so much. You know, you said I was a joy, but I just want to share with the audience, when I initially did a meet and greet with Azadé, I was so comfortable. It's like tuning in and talking to an old friend that I literally just met. Your aura is just a calming, safe space. I revealed things to her. I mean, literally, we had met 2 seconds and I'm telling her like my life story. She's amazing. So thank you so much. And thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
It's amazing. And you're amazing. So thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
Oh my gosh, Sherry. Yeah. Our energy was boom, boom, boom,
immediately.
Boom.
It was.
Yes. It still is. I love it. Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you too. Thank you so much. So at this point, y'all, I hope by now you have one more tool in your toolbox to be a step further in your journey of empowerment and growing and just being your best self. So as always, if you haven't yet, you know, go ahead and subscribe, follow me on the audio podcast. Go ahead, y'all, and put in the comments. Let us know some, you know, if you don't want to share your story in the comments, you can email and let me know some of your stories. Let me know some of the things that you're going to implement now, because it starts now. Start taking care of yourself in that way right now. And thank you so much again, Azadé. Any final words you have for us?
Never, ever give up. Never, ever, 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 ever give up. Never, ever, ever, until you're 6 feet under.
That's right. That's right. You heard it. Let's don't ever give up, guys. Thank you so much. And thank
you. You're welcome.
All right. All right, y'all. Bye. Have a wonderful day. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.